And Father, we bless your name on this morning. We lift you up. We bless you, O God. We gather this morning, O God. This morning we gather, O God, around your throne. We gather, Lord God, in posture to worship. We gather to worship. We gather to love on you, O God. We gather, O God, that your name may get the glory. May your name be glorified this morning through our mouths, through our hearts, through our bow, O God. We welcome you, Spirit of the living God. We welcome you into our space. We welcome you, Lord God, into, Lord God, hallelujah, our environment on this morning. Oh God, we lift you up this morning. We magnify the name of Jesus. We exalt and we extol you, O God. For you alone are worthy of praise. You alone are worthy of glory. O excellent King, Aman Shitaba Ande de Sukuporiataya, Libre Kiataranama Aso Telelelebe Kiamdaya. There is none like you. There is none that can be compared to who you are, O God. Rebanderirian Shikapari Andaranama Aya. May your name forever be glorified. May your name forever be lifted up. Rekandelelebe Siokuri Andaranama Kaya, King of Glory. Ancient of Days, Everlasting Father, you are. King of all kings, Lord of all lords. You are the Rock of Ages. You are Elohim. You are our Creator. You are our Father. And our hearts bow before you. We thank you this morning that you are our advocate. You are the chief intercessor. We thank you that you are Jehovah Gabor. You are the mighty man of war. And you go before us on this morning. We thank you this morning, oh God, that you fight for us. That your sword is drawn against all of our enemies. Father, we thank you this morning, oh God, that you reign supreme, that you super rule, O God. You are the sovereign one. You are El Shaddai. You are the great I am. Hallelujah. We thank you that you are the living God, the one true living God. That every other God is an idol, but you, God, hallelujah, you are the true and living God. And our hearts bow before you this morning. Our hearts bow before our King. We worship you, mighty God. We worship your name. We worship the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We welcome your Spirit. We welcome the name of the Lord in this place. The name of the Lord is established here. The name of the Lord is established in this space. The name of the Lord is strong. The name of the Lord is great. The name of the Lord is mighty. Hallelujah. And we bless you on this morning. Amen and amen. Welcome. Welcome to all of you that are coming in this morning. Welcome to 6460 at 5 a.m. Today is day 45. Amen. We started this journey on January the 5th, and we complete the journey on March the 6th. We have 16 more mornings and afternoons together. Amen. We're not gathering here just for inspiration that will fade. We are gathering for transformation. All of us that have joined here are being transformed by the renewing of our mind. Amen. And that transformation is going to hold when nobody is watching. Amen. This is the hour where deliverance becomes durable, because discipline is becoming normal in us each and every day. For those of you that are new here, we welcome you. 60 for 60 is, just so you understand, we have taken this time to consecrate for 60 days. So we meet at 5 a.m. to build an altar before the day begins. Amen. And then we meet again at 12 noon. Amen. Well, we're continuing on in that training of our spiritual governance. And then before the day ends, before we lay our heads down on the pillow, we have our own private time with the Lord for 20 minutes. So I forgot to mention that we spend 20 minutes at 5, we spend 20 minutes at noon, and then we spend 20 minutes on our own before the day ends. Amen. Now, it's a minimum of 60 minutes. You know, we are pushing to spend as much time as we can with the Lord. Amen. But we are assisting the body of Christ with their prayer life by this prayer initiative being put in place to keep people disciplined when it comes to prayer. Now, yesterday, we focused, our topic was possessing your gates, and we built a foundation around deliverance on yesterday. Today, we are keeping that foundation, and we're moving forward from the point where we stopped. We stopped yesterday, those of you that were here, at signs deliverance is happening in you. We stopped at talking about signs deliverance is happening in you. And today we're going to begin at why deliverance can be gradual. And then we'll move from there, right? Our anchor texts yesterday, and they will remain the same today. One was Proverbs 4 and 23. For those of you that may be writing, you can jot these scriptures down. Proverbs 4, 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And I gave a breakdown on yesterday that you can go back and listen to on our website. Our website is up. Woo. We're so excited about that. So you can go to the website and listen to the replays. So Proverbs 4:23 was one of the scriptures we gave you yesterday. Matthew 12, verses 43 through 45, where it says, where Jesus was describing an unclean spirit leaving and then returning to a house that remained empty and ungoverned. That's what those scriptures are referring to, Matthew 12, 43 through 45. And then our last scripture was Psalm 24 and 7, where it says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. These scriptures gave us a clear framework, right? Deliverance is protected by governance. These three scriptures show us where deliverance is protected by governance. Governance is exercised through gates, right? And gates are managed at heart level first. That's what we were discussing on yesterday. Now, one of the things I forgot to mention on yesterday, and I want to mention it today, is environmental gates. We didn't really touch on that yesterday, but I want us to understand that some demonic interference continues in our life because there's access that's being maintained through items that function as spiritual signals, all right? I want us to understand that some of us are experiencing demonic interference, and it's continuing, although you're praying, although you're fasting, although many things you are doing, but what's being maintained, what the interference is being maintained through spiritual signals. What are some spiritual signals? Well, artifacts. Sometimes we have emblems, you know, different symbols, different items from our other systems. You know, we may have art. We may have things that these spirits are latching hold to, like objects that are tied to covenants that we may not be aware of. Some of the decor in our homes, in our businesses that represent other deities, right? that carry agreement and invite influence. I love, in particular, and I'm not saying that this is the only type of art, but I in particular love African art. I love it. And I have pieces in my home, but every piece of art that I have in my house, I have literally prayed before I purchased it, because we know that artifacts, and again, I am not even insinuating that African art is the only art that could have, you know, that could be an object that's tied to a covenant, that's tied to a deity. It absolutely, all art can be tied to a deity. All art can be tied to demonic covenant. So we want to make sure that we are looking through and that we are ensuring that we are praying about emblems, jewelry, different things that we're bringing into our homes that may be tied to the demonic interference that we are, that we've invited into our space, right? We've invited it because we brought it into our space. You know, sometimes people treat these items as neutral because they're physical items. No, but they're not. The spiritual realm reads them as alignment. Let me say that again. The spirit realm reads these artifacts, these art pieces, these emblems, these the jewelry, the symbols. The spirit realm reads them as alignment. And so part of possessing your gates includes examining what is stored in your home, you know, what's displayed, what's worn on your body, what's collected, what's celebrated in your environment, all right? I want to add that in because I realized I didn't include that yesterday, and that's very important. Now, just as a way of recap, I'm just going to recap really quickly what we talked about yesterday. One of the things that we had to do was define what deliverance is. And so what we define deliverance as being is deliverance is the work of God that breaks unlawful spiritual influence. Wait, it's not just breaking the unlawful spiritual influence, and it removes bondage. So a person can live in obedience, so a person can live in freedom, so a person can live in clarity, okay? So it's not just the breaking of unlawful spiritual influence. It also is the removing of bondage so that you can and I can live in obedience and in freedom, all right? So deliverance includes, right? It includes the expelling of spirits. We call it casting out spirits, expelling spirits. It includes breaking agreements. It includes healing the inner man, right? That inner work where we go to therapy, we go to counselors, we process through our trauma, right? Where we renew our mind. How do we renew our mind? We can only renew our mind with truth. And the truth is the word of God. Restoring the will is a part of deliverance. Reordering our desires is a part of deliverance. And yes, deliverance can include outward manifestations, okay? Deliverance can include outward manifestations, right? But those manifestations are not the definition of deliverance. They are manifestations of deliverance, but they're not the definition of deliverance. Deliverance is measured by what loses access, okay? Deliverance is measured by what loses access to you and what gains order, all right? Teaching functions as deliverance. Why? Because truth begins to interrupt deception, all right? And deception is what sustains our bondage, all right? So when we're teaching, we're naming gates. When we're teaching, we're exposing agreements. When we're teaching, we're revealing patterns that have lived in the dark. That is why teaching is so important. And so when light, the Bible says that when light enters the mind, the light of the word enters our mind, then the agreement with the lies that we believed begins to collapse. So we talked about the different types of deliverance, teaching being one, right? Truth and teaching is a type of deliverance. another type of deliverance is what I call confrontational deliverance. And that's where we're expelling those. We're confronting those demons and we are expelling those demons, right? And then there is deliverance through repentance and renunciation. We talked about that yesterday. When we repent, it realigns us. When we renounce and we denounce, it cancels legal access, right? Any doors that we open by our own participation. And you may be saying, Ava, how did I participate? Well, you may be participating involuntarily, but you're still participating, okay? And it's going to keep that door open. So doors open by tolerance. They open by participation. They open by mixture. When you want to dabble, you want to do a little bit of this. You want to live holy, but you want to have a little bit of sin too, right? You want to live holy, but you want to worship what do you call them? These stones, these gems, right? You want to do that. You want to worship God, but you want to cleanse your atmosphere with sage. That's called mixture, right? I was talking to crystals. Thank you, Cam. Crystals. I couldn't think of the word. All right. You want to worship the Lord, our God, but you want to worship crystals as well. That's what we call mixture, right? And so that's going to keep doors open in our lives, all right? Sometimes we are, you know, these verbal agreements, they keep doors open. So renunciation and repentance are ways to keep deliverance maintained, all right? Deliverance through inner healing. You heard me just say it. You know, when we have trauma, when we're dealing with rejection and shame and grief, And I'm going to ask all of you that are coming in to please ensure that you're muting your line so there's no interference in the background. We really appreciate it. Okay, so when we're going through, you know, grief, when we're going through unresolved pain, you know, then that is going to keep the door open for demonic interference and traffic, right? But when we go through that inner healing and we deal and we process through our grief, we process through our rejection, we process through abandonment, right? The enemy begins to lose leverage when pain no longer serves as an access point, all right? And the last thing that we talked about was deliverance comes through consecration. This time of consecration has been so much deliverance for so many of us, including me. You know, when we are in consistent obedience, right? Deliverance has hit our door. Deliverance has come into our life when we're consistently obeying God. So that means that your soul, I think it was Tawana was talking yesterday, and I said, hey, this is a sign of deliverance because your soul and your body are being retrained. Your habits are being replaced, right? Your appetites are being disciplined. The temptation begins to weaken because you're obeying, right? And obedience becomes established in your life. You know, your desires begin to change. You know, the pull of your old appetites, it begins to weaken, right? And new desires become more stable in your life. You don't have those compulsions like you used to. You know, you're making sound decisions now. Your triggers are losing authority, right? Your emotional reactions are becoming governed. You're not so quick to lash out. You know, you're not so quick to get so angry, right? You know, there's nothing wrong with getting angry at all. You can get angry. The Bible says be angry, but don't sin. So you're able to govern over your anger. Yes, you're angry about something, but you're able to govern over it so you don't do something you'll regret. So these are signs that deliverance is happening. It's not limited to just what I've mentioned. There's so much more, but I don't have time to go through it all. You got to listen back to the replay, right? And we talked about physical manifestations can occur that let you know that deliverance is at work. When you cry, those are manifestations. When you tremble, for some people, coughing, vomiting, yawning, going to the restroom, right? Shaking, sensations of heat, sensations of pressure, heaviness, okay? These are signs that accompany deliverance, okay? Deliverance is verified, though, by fruit. I want us to understand that, all right? These are signs that are accompanied by deliverance, but our deliverance is going to be verified by the fruit that we bear and the maintenance of our freedom. So today, let's talk about why deliverance can be gradual. Why deliverance can be gradual? Deliverance can be gradual because bondage can be layered. I touched on it a little bit yesterday. Bondage can be layered. Some of us have gone through some very extreme trauma, okay? And I want us to understand that our bondage can be layered. It can be trained and it can be reinforced over time, okay? Some doors were opened slowly. Some permissions were established through our own repetition. Some oppression is tied to habitual sin. Some oppression is tied to our trauma, to patterns that trained our nervous system. Some oppression is tied to the imagination and the body's response system. So Jesus described a guarded house in the book of Luke, chapter number 21 and 22. He describes this guarded house, and the house is guarded by what's called a strong man. And so what the strong man does is he takes up territory, and sometimes the territory that he takes up is our bodies. He takes up territory in our mind, right? And so that strong man has to be dismantled, okay? That stronghold, that strong man has to be dismantled, right? Your gate has to be reclaimed by another power, the power of Christ. All right, that territory, which may be you, the territory is not just land that you walk on. You are territory, and it's got to be repossessed. Okay, now, spirits can resist exit when agreements remain. Sometimes the reason why those spirits are resisting, they're not going anywhere, they're staying, is because we've still got some agreements that are in place. And listen, agreements can be obvious. Agreements can be emotional. Agreements can be behavioral. Agreements can be environmental. Environmental agreements can be sustained, as we talked about earlier, through objects, and that represents divided allegiance. So when those objects remain present, a person may experience continued interference because that signal is remaining. Deliverance unfolds in stages because God uproots what I call feeder systems. Feeder systems include those hidden permissions, those tolerated patterns, that mixture that keeps those doors open. And so we talked about possessing our gates. When we possess or repossess those gates, it protects this process. So while deliverance unfolds, gates must be guarded. So as you are going through deliverance, and your deliverance may be layered because you may have a lot that you are processing through, you have to guard your gates so the work is not interrupted by renewed access. You don't want to give renewed access to the enemy. So I want you to write this down. Point number one today, gates are access points with legal weight. Gates are access points with legal weight. A gate is where entry is permitted or refused. A gate is where entry is permitted or refused. Permission is not always intentional. Permission can be tolerated. Compromise, that becomes normal. Okay? Permission is not always intentional, but whether it's intentional or not, it still gives permission. And permission can be tolerated, compromised, and that becomes normal, so you don't even realize that you're giving permission to the enemy, that you're giving legal ground to the enemy. Genesis states this plainly. It says, sin lieth
at the door. You can read that in Genesis 4 and 7. Sin lieth at the door. Sin waits for a door because sin requires agreement. Sin is all, that's why you got to be so careful of what you say. Because sin is waiting for the opportunity. It's waiting for you to come in agreement with it so it can move from just a suggestion to habitation. You know, we just talk in the name of being honest, we begin to just be reckless with our speech, and we don't even realize that we are giving sin the pathway to enter in and just take its space, take up room in our life. So legal access is built through, I'm going to give you three routes. You ready? Legal access is built through three routes, because this is what we're getting ready to pray into today. Agreement through belief. So that means a lie is accepted as truth, right? Then that lie becomes our lens, and then that lens becomes our behavior, okay? Agreement through belief. How many lies have we accepted as truth in our life? You got to take some time to sit with yourself in order to even know this stuff. Some of this stuff is so normal to us, we don't even realize it, that we believe the lie. And then that lie becomes our lens. That's why some people are like, you know, I don't really fool with church, you know. Why? Because they had something that happened in their past, okay, and they believe, they accepted that as truth. Or they may go to church, but they will never commit because they believe a lie. They accepted it as truth, and that lie becomes their lens, and then that lens becomes their behavior. Okay, we see it every day. I just use church as an example. Okay, so agreement through belief. Agreement through behavior, okay? Repetition becomes permission. Whatever you do, we always love to talk about religion, but religion is nothing but repetition, a practice that you do all the time. So your religion may not be Christianity. Your religion may be something else that you practice all the time. That's your religion. That's what you practice. Okay, repetition becomes permission. Permission becomes a pattern. So we may be giving agreement through our own behavior, and then agreement through environment. So we have agreement through belief. This is what gives legal access. Okay, agreement through what we believe, agreement through our behavior, and then agreement through environment. I don't need to go through that again because we already went through that. The art, the artifacts, the souvenirs, those things, right? The altars that we have, okay? That's agreement through environment. So possessing gates means setting policy over your access points, and that includes your environment. Possessing gates means setting policy over your access points. That includes your environment. Number two, the heart is the primary gate, because it issues life. I'm going to repeat this because I said this yesterday and I gave you Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all diligence. Keep your heart. You got to guard your heart. We talked about yesterday that the word keep is a command. Okay? It is commanding you to keep your heart with all diligence because the heart is a source. Issues flow out of your heart. Your private inner world becomes your public life, right? Whatever you believe internally, it's going to flow out publicly, okay? Your heart can be sincere, but it still can be unguarded. And an unguarded heart becomes very reactive. It becomes very impressionable. It becomes governed by offense. It becomes governed by fear and lust and shame or our appetite. So gatekeeping begins to interrupt that normalization. The heart is guarded through specific practices. Truth is going to govern our thought life. Scripture is going to define our reality. Prayer is going to keep us sensitive. Repentance is going to keep us aligned. Our confession is going to keep the inner man clean. Our accountability is going to strengthen our consistency, right? So when the heart is guarded, then you're going to see a person's decisions are going to stabilize. Just think about yourself. There was one time in your life where you didn't guard your heart, and that's why you were unstable. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So a person that vacillates back and forth, the one second they're super passionate, they love God, they're really strong, they confess, oh, I'm going to do this, da, da, da. And then the next second, they're talking about all what they can't do. Oh, I just, you know, I'm this and that, I'm downtrodden. It's showing double-mindedness. And anybody that vacillates like that is going to be unstable. So that's the reason why you've got to guard your heart. When you guard your heart, then your decisions are going to stabilize. And stable decisions protect your freedom. Okay? When you see somebody showing up with the same patterns, just a different person, you already know, stay away from them. That's a red flag. Mm-mm, nope. Stay away. Begin to practice making sound decisions. Number three, deliverance creates space. Deliverance creates space. Governance fills the space with order. So deliverance creates the space, and then you governing it fills the space with the order. Matthew 12, right? 43 through 45. Right? It warns about a cleared house that remains ungoverned. A spirit left. That's what it talks about. The spirit left, but the house remained. And so the vulnerability remained because governance was missing. Okay? The reason why you went to the altar, the spirit was cast out, you felt the freedom of God, but it didn't remain, the freedom didn't remain, is because you weren't governing. You weren't setting order. So a house has to be protected by occupancy and order. We're about to pray. A house is protected by occupancy and order. Your house is protected. You are the house. And the way that you protect your house is by what occupies your house and the order that is set in your house. Who currently occupies your house? Is it fear? Who occupies your house? Is it unforgiveness? Who occupies your house? Is it grief? You know, you got to put those spirits out. You got to let the Holy Ghost occupy you, and then you got to set some things in order. Occupying includes the filling of the Holy Spirit in your life. It includes scripture filling your mind. Order includes habits that guard your gates, patterns that remove permissions, right? Order. By cleansing the environment from anything that can cause that demonic traffic to keep coming in. You know, so the word, you keep intaking the word, it's going to renew your mind. The more you keep intaking the word, it's going to renew your mind, right? So deliverance is maintained when the new order becomes practice. And then point number four, Jezebel. Jezebel builds control through unmanaged gates. Jezebel functioned as a pattern of influence without covenant and control without accountability. Let me repeat that. Jezebel functions as a pattern of influence without covenant and control without accountability. Revelation 2 and 20 links Jezebel to seduction through teaching that corrupts servants. Okay? Jezebel is connected to seduction through teaching that corrupts servants. In 1 Kings, it shows Jezebel using intimidation, using narrative control, using counterfeit worship to govern a people. When you see these leaders, I don't care what domain that they function in. They could be in media. They can be in politics. They can be in entertainment. When you see these leaders that control through intimidation, through fear tactics, through narrative control, right, through counterfeit worship, you know that Jezebel is at work, the spirit of Baal. Jezebel was a person that worshiped a god called Baal, okay? Baal worship is at work there. We use Jezebel because she is one identifier in scripture that use this power in order to control people, mind control. Mind control. I intimidate you, right? I use the word to try to keep you control. That's how you know Jezebel is at work. And so this pattern seeks access through specific gates. It uses the gate of fear. It uses the gate of offense. It uses the gate of desire. It uses the gate of mixture. It uses the gate of environment. And when those gates are governed, Jezebel loses leverage. Okay? Can't fool me. Okay? Because why? I'm governing my gates. The things that I used to fall for, I don't fall for anymore. Why? Because my gates are governed. So somebody with a Jezebelic spirit that's coming and trying to tell me or try to incite fear or offense, it doesn't work over here anymore. Why? Because my gates are governed. Control is going to lose its fuel when your gates are governed. Manipulation is going to lose its traction when your gates are governed. Intimidation is going to lose its voice when your gates are governed. And our last point today, gates respond to image. Authority is recognized by likeness. Let me say that again. Gates respond to image. Authority is recognized by likeness. So Psalm 24 shows gates opening for the King of Glory. Why? Because gates respond to recognize authority. Acts 19 shows the spirit realm recognizing who is known and who is not. Do you remember when the Spirit said, Jesus, we know. Paul, yeah, we know him. But who are you? You better believe that in the spirit realm, you are either recognized or you're not. So when you're trying to come up against these spirits will call you out and say, we know this person. We know this person. We know Jesus. But who are you? Spiritual credibility is formed over time. Galatians 4:19 says what? Until Christ be formed in you. And formation occurs through consecration, through obedience, through our altar life, through truth that's applied. So spiritual credibility is formed over time. Sometimes you can be very sincere, but your spiritual credibility isn't finished being formed. And so you're trying to run up against these spirits, and they're like, wait a minute, hold up. We don't know you. And you get torn up by those spirits. When Christ is formed, the gates respond because the image is present. So the enemy loses its confidence because internal agreements are shifting. And this is why 6460 is important. Because you're being formed here, and formation is going to produce authority at the gates. And authority is going to maintain your deliverance. So today, I want you to take this charge. I want you to take custody of your gates. I want you to identify the doors that have been used against you. Name them. Close them with a policy. Remove the access through your repentance and your renunciation. Don't just say words. I repent because you're saying words, but there's no agreement in the inward man, in all of the dimensions of who you are. Remove the access through environmental cleansing. Go through old clothes, old things that people gave you. Some of this stuff, heirlooms. I get it. I understand. Your grandma, it was your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandma's. I get it. But it may be a source of why demonic traffic is still in your house. We love great-great-great-great-great-grandma. We love her. But we cannot have the hail just continuing to ravage our homes because of an heirloom. Get rid of it. Cleanse your house. Remove access through disciplined habits. That's going to reinforce that new order. Build a gatekeeping plan. Your ears, your eyes, your mouth, your mind, those are gates. Your heart, your home, relationships, your schedule, possessions, your decor, objects, symbols, all of it. Gatekeep them all. Maintain deliverance through your consistent governance. Father, in the name of Jesus, we submit our gates to your authority today, and we ask you for thorough deliverance that remains. We acknowledge today, hallelujah, that deliverance can unfold in layers, and we ask you for grace to cooperate with the process. We don't want to stop in the middle of our process because it's rough. God, help us to plumage through the process. No matter how rough it gets, we know that you are walking with us. We ask for discernment to identify agreements that keep doors open. We ask for the courage to renounce them with a clear mind. We ask you for endurance to stay consistent until freedom becomes stabilized in our life. We apply the blood of Jesus to every access point on today. We do it again over our eye gates. God, I thank you for sanctified sight, oh God, on today. We decree and declare that images that trained lust in us, that trained fear in us, that trained violence in us, Lord God, we decree and declare on today that corruption is losing its influence in our life. We decree, Lord God, that the fascination that we have with darkness, that it's losing its pull today. We decree that our sight is governed by holiness. Over the ear gates today, we decree sanctified hearing. We decree that corrupt counsel loses its influence today. We decree that seductive voices are losing access today. We decree that intimidation is losing authority today. We decree that our hearing is becoming disciplined and that we recognize spiritual contamination early. Over our mouth today, we decree sanctified speech. Come on, decree that over your mouth today. We renounce agreement with death. We renounce agreement with the spirit of suicide. We renounce agreement with shame, with oppression, with accusation. We renounce the agreement with manipulation. I'm feeling suicide strong on this line on today, God, but we come out of agreement with the spirit of death in the name of Jesus. We are praying against the spirit of suicide, suicidal thoughts, suicidal ideation in the name of Jesus. We come against it in Jesus' name. Come on, whoever has been dealing, you don't have to announce yourself, but I need you to begin to renounce agreement with suicide. Stop willing death to come to your door. We push back the hand of death in the name of Jesus, and we decree that our speech is aligning with scripture on today. We decree that our words are stop feeding that, Lord God, which is causing, Lord God, this demonic interference. We will not continue to feed hell with our words in the name of Jesus. We're asking you today to remove, Lord God, hallelujah, remove anything out of our way that will cause us, Lord God, to speak against what you have said about us, God. We are, Lord God, we're pleading the blood over our mind gate today, and we're decreeing renewal. We confront tormenting cycles. We confront intrusive patterns, Lord God, obsessive rehearsals, God, mental oppression. We decree the peace of God. We decree the mind of Christ. We decree that imaginations are being purified today and that memory is being healed in the name of Jesus. Lord God, where trauma, Lord God, has been built up in our life, oh God, that has tried to build a door, I thank you for healing, overtaking, oh God, the space in our hearts, in our minds, in the name of Jesus. We pray over our heart gate today, and we decree that we are the custodian of our heart. We repent for any negligence. We repent for tolerated compromise. We repent for agreements made through repetition. We repent for environments that we hosted that weakened our consecration. We ask that you cleanse the springs of life today. We ask that you purify our desires. We ask that you restore our will. Father, expose any environmental doors in our life, God. Expose objects that carry divided allegiance. Expose any artifacts, any art, any symbols, any emblems, any books, any art, Lord God, any items that are tied to other spiritual systems. Expose what has been displayed as decor but functions as agreement. Give us conviction. God, give us strength to remove what must be removed. Give us wisdom to cleanse what must be cleansed. We renounce mixture with full state of mind, a sound mind. We renounce every competing altar. We renounce every practice that bypassed covenant. We renounce every object that represented divided devotion. We renounce every ritual that invited spiritual pollution. We declare exclusive allegiance to Jesus Christ. Now, Father, establish governance in the house. Fill us with the Holy Ghost. Fill our minds, oh God, with truth. Fill our hearts with clean desire. Fill our homes with presence. Establish order in our schedules. Establish order in our affections. Establish order in our private choices. We confront Jezebel patterns at the gates. We confront manipulation. We confront intimidation. We confront seduction into compromise. We confront counterfeit spirituality. We confront ancestral worship. We confront narrative control that trains people to tolerate corruption. We decree that this pattern is losing access. It's losing leverage. It's losing influence now in the name of Jesus. And we declare today that Christ is forming in us, that is strength, that he is strengthening the inner man, that Christ is cleaning our hearts and our hands. He is establishing clean hands and pure hearts in our lives. He's establishing obedience. Lord God, it's being fulfilled. Establish watchfulness. Please mute your line. Establish, Lord God, we're establishing, oh God, watchfulness in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we are establishing, oh God, consistent prayer. We're establishing disciplined appetite. We're establishing truth in the inward parts. God, I pray that you would release grace that trains obedience. Grace, oh God, teach us to deny ungodliness. Grace that strengthens our will. Grace that heals disordered desire. Grace that breaks cycles. Grace that restores appetite for holiness. Grace that sustains consistency until deliverance is complete. We thank you that we are maintaining our freedom, that our gates are guarded, that our hearts are governed. We decree, Lord God, today that our minds are renewed by your word. We decree that our households are aligned with covenant. We decree that your counsel will be established in our lives through obedience. In the matchless name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Yes, we are over our 20 minutes. In fact, we're in the 44 minutes at this time, but I needed to ensure that this teaching was delivered to you today. Amen. I could not stop until it was complete. For those that may have had to get off or you have to run, we do understand, amen, that you are getting ready for work. But we want you to know that you are able to access the replay by going to our website, www.scentmiami.com. That's S as in Sam, E as in egg, N as in Nancy, T as in Tom, thecitymiami.com. You can go there and listen to the replay. The one from today, give at least 24 hours before you see it online, but you can access any of our prior recordings. You can access it there. We will open the line on today for anyone that would like to come forward. No longer if you have a recording. Testimony or if you would like to share something that blessed you about the lesson on today, feel free to go ahead and do so now by unmuting your line.
This is Stacy. I just wanted to say thank you for this teaching. It was really insightful and very impactful. I learned a lot through this teaching. I think it was something you mentioned. I'm going to paraphrase it because I'm probably not going to say it correctly. But pretty much you mentioned that, you know, deliverance is a method, but the fruit of true deliverance is seen by, verified by the fruit.
That really kind of,
I'll say, opened
my eyes.
It kind of hit me really, really hard because it's like, you know, a lot of times we see deliverance and then we think that, you know, the method of it, whether, you know, crying or expelling demons, and then we think that it's, you know, it's complete or something, but the true sign of someone walking in deliverance is what fruit they bear. And it also gives true to the fact that deliverance doesn't just come by, you know, someone expelling a demon or whatever, but it also gives way to the truth that it can be done through the word of God, through actual truth. And that it kind of helped me to see that it's not a one-time thing or an immediate thing, but that it can be a thing that takes time, a gradual thing. But as long as the fruit is there, then I know that it's true deliverance. And so
that really spoke to me just this morning. So
to say thank
your phone you, is going in and out, Stacy.
Can you hear me? I'm sorry, I'm in the car.
We hear you, but it keeps going in and out. Go ahead.
Okay. You know, I didn't have much to say, but I just wanted to say thank you for this teaching. It was very, very insightful. I feel like deliverance came even through the light, just off the teaching alone. You know, deliverance of mindsets and the ways that we think, I guess, quote unquote, deliverance should be or what deliverance should look like. So thank you.
Thank you for sharing on today. You know, a lot of things, because we only see it done one way, we think that's the only way. But I'm telling you, deliverance is not does not just come through someone coming to an altar and purging. That is one manifestation. Purging is a manifestation of deliverance, that deliverance is at work. Right? It's not deliverance. It's just a manifestation of deliverance. But how you know that someone is truly delivered is by the fruit that you see. And a lot of times, yes, that manifestation comes and that expelling of that spirit comes out. But if it is not, if you aren't maintaining your deliverance through the truth of God, you're not putting anything into your house, then guess what? Then that's the reason why we see and we look at people and say, well, they go, look at them. They had church every Sunday and they still cussing people out. You know why? Because they never maintain their deliverance. They don't govern their gates. They just let anything come in and out. They keep practicing the same old habits, right? And so, you know, so then what happens? Then those spirits come back and they looking for their house because they feel like they own you, right? And they say, oh, I'm going to bring my boys with me this time. And that way you'll never get away from us then, you know? So, which we know is not true because the greatest power is Christ Jesus. But you have a part to play as well, not just Christ, okay? We all have a part to play as well, and we have to obey God because he knows what's best for us. We don't know what's best for us, but Christ does. Anyone else that would like to come forth on this morning, please feel free to do so now at this time.
Grace and peace. This is Pastor Kim. I just wanted to say thank you so much, Apostle. When you said build a gatekeeping plan, I hollered, and it's 5-something in the morning, but I hollered because that's it right there, is building a plan. I know for myself, and I'll just speak for myself, that, you know, I'm going to the altar over and over and over again, and you cry, and you go back, and you cry again, and now you know, you feel so good. Oh, I feel so great. And then after that Sunday, you know, the week goes by, and you're back again the same Sunday, crying at the altar because you didn't develop a plan. And that's, I think sometimes we think that deliverance is, as you mentioned, this one form where you cry it out, you go through this experience, and then that's it. But you absolutely have to put a plan in place to maintain it. And that thing just, that freed me right there, just like mind blown. DJ Clue's bombs just blew up in my head, because it's developing that plan and sticking to that plan to help maintain and fortify your gate. So I thank you for just saying that. That right there, build a gatekeeping plan. That was it. And so I thank you.
Yeah, I mean, that is it. You know, we don't have a plan. We just living life, you know, just going, you know, just living by the seat of our pants. And we don't think that order, when you see a person's life that is orderly, you know that Christ is at work. Okay? You know, because order brings about a safeguard for our life. A safeguard. So you got to put a plan in place if you're going to be effective, if you're going to maintain your deliverance. Thank you for sharing. Anyone else?
Apostle, this is Apostle Sash. Just thank God for the continuation of this teaching. Literally, I feel like today I've been in like a spiritual boot camp or a training for my spirit. I spoke on yesterday and said how just the teaching, and I believe Stacy mentioned it yet this morning, the teaching alone has brought so much deliverance. But today I also feel like God literally empowered us with, you know, tools on how to see. I feel like my eyes literally have been opened a little bit more, where I'm no longer, you know, I can't be unaware of the things that's going on within me or around me. So I'm grateful, because I feel like I've been given some more strategy today on how to deal with these things spiritually and how to actually respond properly and dismantle them. So I'm grateful to God for the teaching. Thank you.
Amen. To God be all glory. Thank God for his truth. And as you were talking, the Lord told me to say that food, what you sit down and what you eat, your mouth is a gate. What you put in it can be a way that the enemy controls you. Be careful of what you eat. Be careful at the tables you sit at and eat, even in restaurants. Oh, listen. People are doing all kinds of things over medications and over food. We need to be careful and mindful. You can call it whatever you want to call it. Oh, you being too spooky. Call it whatever you want to call it. We need to pray about all things, including the things that we eat. If the Lord is telling you, stop eating this, stop eating that, then stop. Then stop. AP said to me, for those of you that know AP, I was telling him I got sick the other day about, I was eating them, I love Chessmen cookies. I was eating them little Chessmen cookies. I got a mini bag. I had a little sugar craving. And I got me a little mini bag of Chessmen cookies, and I got sick as a dog. He said, it's giving John the Baptist. I said, it's giving locusts and berries at this point, my diet. Because God is training us. A lot of us, our bellies are our gods. Our bellies are our God, and it keeps us restricted and bound. So be careful of what you eat, and be careful at the tables that you sit at to eat. That's coming straight from the Holy Ghost. All right. Anyone else?
Good morning. I'm sorry. Talk of the monkeys. I just want to also thank God for what you were teaching concerning the artifacts. I remember a few years back when I had just been delivered from a very toxic and abusive relationship. and how one of the things my spiritual father was teaching me about is how you need to maintain your gates and protect them by ensuring that you are disconnecting from everything that was once toxic in your life. And one of the things he helped me to understand was that sometimes you have to burn away do away with gifts and things that people have given you. And in that moment when he was teaching me about it, I realized that everything that I had in my possession, my clothes, my shoes, all of that, it was gift, or it was something that was provided for me from that previous individual. So I got ready. When I got off of my call, I began to bag up everything. And I said, okay, I'm just going to go ahead and give all this stuff away, because some of the stuff was new. And I heard the Lord say, no, you need to throw this stuff away, because if you give it away, then you contaminate the person that you are giving this over to. And so it was from that moment on, that was one of the first times I actually felt weight lifted off of me from that relationship, when I actually threw those things away. And so I just wanted to thank God for that highlight, because sometimes we get so consumed by things being a gift, or things being so cute and pretty, or things being what we deem as sentimental, and we don't realize that they're actually holding us in the bondage that we say we want to get out of. Thank you for letting me share.
That is absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. You know, rings, jewelry, shoes, you know, diaries, even, you know, journals that we got when we were writing letters, all of those things, you need to pray into them. If the Lord unctions you to get rid of it, and you're trying to hold on to it because it's sentimental, get rid of it, because it is keeping agreements with the realm of the realm of the spirit is not neutral, y'all. You know, it's not, I keep reiterating it, because we just think, because of how we talk and deal down here on earth. Oh, I'm just kidding. The spirits don't know about kidding. They know about what you say and what you do, period. There's no in-between. There's no neutrality with it. So we got to be careful of these things, and we have to be watchful over it. Anyone else? Thank you for sharing, Prophet. Amen. As I said earlier today, if you would like to go back and listen to the replay, you could do so by going to our website. It is active and it's up, www.scentmiami.com. Please feel free to go there and access the replays from today and in the past. Also, we want to thank everyone that was able to come out to the ordination on this past Sunday. It was an appointed time. It was a Moedim. It was that God was there. And not only was he there, his approval was there. And we are still in that moment. Amen. And we will continue on from that point. We will not come down from that space. We will continue to move and be catapulted into deeper dimensions of God. So we want to just say thank you for anyone that was able to physically attend. But even if you were not able to physically be there, so many of you have sent such kind words. You are praying, amen, for these elders. And we just thank God for each and every one of you. We'll be back here at noon. I believe that Pastor Kim is going to lead us in prayer at noon. And so we want you to join us, amen, for another 20 minutes. I know it's more than 20 at this point. We are actually in overtime right now. We're at 6. All right. So we've done our hour for the day, but that's all right. Amen. We're going to be meet right back here at noon, amen, for another 20 minutes with the Lord and with each other. We love you. Go in peace and more grace.
More grace.
More grace.